Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano for AFA at the Ark, a special trip to Answers in Genesis Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, October 31st through November 2nd. You'll tour the exhibits like you would expect, but that's just the beginning. Deepen your knowledge with presentations from special speakers and a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Head to afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark. afa.net/events. Click AFA at the Ark.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you had a great weekend. We sure had a wonderful time yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana as we baptized three and celebrated the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, or the scripture says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we talked about the cross of Christ, and we talked about the coming of Christ. And it was just a wonderful Sunday as we focused our eyes on the sacrifice that Jesus made to set us free from sin. That's the ultimate sacrifice. He set us free by his blood. Well, everybody over the weekend was talking about the Paris Olympics, opening night in the Paris 2024 Olympics, a Friday night opening ceremonies, and what was depicted there with the drag queen performers and other perverted performers. Seemingly, they've denied this, but everybody else said, you are depicting the Lord's Supper and you're making a mockery of Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. And they said, oh, no, that's not what it was at all. It was a celebration of community tolerance. I saw an article this morning from CNN Sports, and it said, organizers, this was the heading, organizers apologize after church groups criticized alleged Last Supper parody during opening ceremonies. Notice it's alleged Last Supper parody because they're saying, no, we didn't do that at all. And the scene featured drag artists and dancers. Here's what the organizers said. There was never an intention to show disrespect to any religious group. Baloney. On the contrary, I think we tried to celebrate community tolerance. We believe this ambition was achieved. If people have taken any offense, we're of course really sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I mean, you know, hey, if I've done anything that you mistakenly construed as an attack on you, well, sorry, that's not what we intended. Well, I don't think that's true for a skinny minute, but that's what they said. And the Christian community did respond, and on social media, and you heard lots of people responding. And my response was, this is a wake-up call. I mean, you know, to quote Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. This is the world. That's the world stage, the Olympic Games with all the countries participating. And on the world stage, what does France do? They mock God. The scripture says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Ultimately, is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For whoever sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Hey, you're not going to ultimately mock God. Psalm 2 depicts this. It says, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Now, notice God's response to this. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I've installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. People laugh and mock at God. But as the old saying goes, he who laughs last laughs best. Now, you can try and mock God and scoff about the things of God and you know, shake your puny little fist in his face and put on your presentation and where you try and make fun of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but you're going to give an account for it on the day of judgment. And so there was righteous indignation. Every Christian should have felt some righteous indignation. If you saw that or heard about that and saw the pictures of it, and it didn't do anything to your heart, to grieve your heart, to cause, you know, hurt and anger go together. They're opposite sides of the same coin. And so if you saw that and didn't grieve and then have some righteous indignation, something's seriously wrong with you. And some people, I saw things on Facebook where it's like, you know, I'm so upset with Christians. This makes me sick. You know, we need to love these people and blah, blah, blah. And the outrage of Christians, how dare they? You know, that kind of attitude. Listen, John Calvin had a good quote from yesteryear. A dog barks when his master is attacked. I would be a coward if I saw God's truth attacked and yet would remain silent. You can't remain silent in that. I had a dear lady that I've known for a long time. She messaged me yesterday, Saturday or Sunday, but over the weekend, and she said, how long before we say enough is enough as Christians? How long before we stand up and do something about these attacks that are coming? She's, you know, the question has been posed, well, what would have happened had Paris made a mockery of Muhammad? I mean, that place would be in flames today because the Muslims would attack and people would die. And as Christians, we don't do that. And you say, well, why don't we do that? Because that's not the way of the Savior. You remember when Jesus was before Pilate? He is having a conversation with Pilate, and Pilate is the one, the governor that is over his case, so to speak. And he says to him, let me find it here, it's in John 18. He says, therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, physically fighting, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from this realm. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you're a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And then Pilate said to him, ha, what is truth? I don't think he was asking like, oh, please tell me more. What is truth? I think it was a dismissive rhetorical question. I don't want an answer to this, Jesus. Just what is truth? You know, truth is just whatever you make of it. He was so jaded and cynical. But my kingdom is not of this world. And so in the Christian community and in the Christian world, why do we not see more uprising? You know, it was Elon Musk who had this quote, and Elon Musk calls himself a cultural Christian. But as it was revealed Friday in Paris, cultural Christianity is out the door. Because the world doesn't respect even cultural Christianity. It doesn't show any respect for Christians and Christianity and the Lord Jesus Christ. But Elon Musk quoted this, and I think his heart's in the right place, but he doesn't understand. He said, quote, unless there is more bravery to stand up for what is fair and right, Christianity will perish. Now, I agree with him that we need to have bravery. We need to have courage. What did John Calvin say? I would be a coward if I saw God's truth attacked and yet would remain silent. And we don't need to be cowards. Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good servant of Christ Jesus. The Lord told Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But the question is, okay, our kingdom is not of this world. Are we going to stand up and fight for America? Yes. And if America is under attack, do we pick up arms and fight? Yes. But here's the difference. We're not fighting for this place like this is our kingdom. Our kingdom is not of this world. Our citizenship, Philippians 3, is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior. And the Savior is going to come. And the earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. And the Lord is one day going to come back, Revelation chapter 19, set his feet on the Mount of Olives, do business with all those rebels, the Antichrist and all his forces at the Battle of Armageddon, and he will defeat them, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of Almighty God. And as you've seen when they stomp grapes in the winepress, that's what the Lord is going to do when he comes back. And the carnage is going to be so great at the Battle of Armageddon that the blood splashes up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. There's like a river of blood at the return of Christ. And the Lord is a warrior, and he is going to kick tail and take names when he comes back. See, right now, Jesus came the first time as Savior. He's coming back as judge. He came the first time as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's coming back again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is coming back to take back his earth and his world. So when we think about, well, what do we do in the face of our master being attacked? What do we do in the face of Christianity being mocked and laughed at and scorned and the one who died for us in agony and blood being blasphemed so openly, so blatantly? I don't care how much they say, oh, no, you're just misinterpreting. Baloney. They know what they did, and they did it on purpose. What do we do in that case? How are we supposed to respond? Well, as Jesus said, for this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, you go back, because Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You go back to the days of Noah, when every intent of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. I mean, it was horrible. It was filled with vice and violence and apathy and anarchy. It was awful in the days of Noah. So awful that God says, I'm going to destroy everything that breathes. And Noah alone found favor in the eyes of the Lord, along with his family. But what did Noah do? He's a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. And so he built the ark, but he also preached. And he told them that judgment was coming, and the ark was their ark of safety. See, the Bible indicates that it had never rained up until the time of Noah. And so when Noah said God's going to send a flood upon the earth, they didn't know what that was. They're like, what are you talking about? Well, it's going to start raining. What is that? And so they made fun of him, they laughed at him, they mocked him, but he was faithful, and he was faithful to testify to the truth. Now, I think in a situation like this, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to remember that those people that did what they did, yes, they blasphemed God, but the Lord doesn't hate them. The Lord wants to save them. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Those people are lost. Now, they may be past the point of no return. They may have committed the unpardonable sin. I don't know. But our job as Christians is to stand up for the truth. It's to speak up for the truth. And just as Elon Musk said, hey, there's got to be bravery to stand up. You have to throw aside your cowardice and say, hey, I'm going to stand up and be counted. But the idea that if we don't do that, Christianity will perish, it won't. Because Jesus said, and Jenna Ellis pointed this out on X, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is going to sustain his church. Now, what happens with the attacks on the church, and what happens when things get pushed further and further left, you find out who's real and who's not. When the persecution comes, persecution purges out the tares among the wheat. And those that are hangers-on, those that are Judases among the 12, they get pushed out when the persecution comes. because they're not going to, they can be along for the ride as long as the ride is good. But when the heat gets turned up and being a Christian costs you, they're going to bail out quickly. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And I've entitled this program, We're Not in Kansas Anymore. What do we do as Christians living in a hostile world, a world hostile toward Christ and the gospel? What do we do? We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. In the movie The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy got taken by the tornado to a very strange land, as she exited the house and looked around, she said to her little dog, "We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto." Well, we are not in Kansas either, so to speak. The world has made a declaration in the 2024 Paris opening ceremony Olympics it is the in thing, the vogue thing, the popular thing to mock holy things, and they can deny it all they want, but they know what they did in the privacy of their own hearts. They know that that was going to be perceived that way, and that was done on purpose, and that was all those things are pushed by the devil. The whole world, 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, we're breathing the air that the enemy, he's called the prince of the power of the air. He's pushing this world in a particular direction, and he's not doing it independently. God knows what he's doing. Where the devil rules, God overrules, and as Martin Luther said, even the devil is God's devil, and so the Lord is letting him move things along according to his plan and his purposes, but the things that are being done, they are fueled and energized and motivated by the enemy who hates Christ and hates Christianity and hates Israel and hates Christians. And so all the things that you see done his fingerprints are all over those things. And so it is right for us to stand up and speak up, as Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," said that to Pilate. And he said, "If my kingdom were this world, my followers would fight. Then we would take to the streets. We would burn things down. We would start, looting and pillaging and harming people, as you see on all these quote unquote peaceful protests in Seattle, Washington, and other places around the country." That's what the devil's crowd does. And what does Islam do? Well, Islam's going to do similar type of things, and they'll start killing people and maiming people and all in the name of their God. What they don't understand is their God is really Satan. And, there's one true God, and everything else is false. And so we stand up for the one true God, just as Elijah stood up on Mount Carmel against the 450 prophets of Baal. It matters not how many they had. They could have had 45,000 prophets of Baal, and they call on God, but their God's not going to answer. Why? Because he's not God. There is one God, and his name is Yahweh, and we worship him, and he became a man, the second person in the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, and is coming back to judge the world in righteousness, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And so Jesus said to Pilate, "For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world to testify to the truth." Now that's your job, and that's my job. We speak the truth in love. So that friend of mine, Reagan, who called me and said, how are we supposed to respond to this? What are we supposed to do? Are we just supposed to sit back? That was kind of the question. It's like, no, this is the time. It's a wake-up call for Christians to shine and share. You hear those two words on this program all the time. Shine and share. We shine. That's the way we live. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so this is a call to every Christian to say, hey, you need to get right with God. We need, as a Christian community, to get right with God. We need to quit riding the fence of compromise. You know, the question from years ago is still the day. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Do people know? Do they look at your life? Is the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus on your life? If not, why not? And if people can't tell, because you're so much like the world, they can't even tell that you're a Christian, then you're not doing what the scripture says. You shall be holy, Jesus said, for I am holy. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't participate in their sins. I think about my own life when I became a Christian. So I'm immersed in a bunch of non-Christians. All my friends were non-Christians. So I get saved my senior year in high school, January of 1980. I come to Christ. And I'm like Lazarus that comes out of the tomb. I got the wrappings of my old life, and I need to have somebody help me get those off, unbind him and let him go, as Jesus said to the people concerning Lazarus. And so I had to start making changes. I couldn't live the life I'd lived before, because now I'm a brand new creation. I was dead in sin. Now I'm alive in Christ. And one of the first things I did was said to my friends, and I might not have said this verbally, but I made it known, hey, I can't go out with you on Friday and Saturday nights. I can play basketball with you. I can go to lunch with you. I can do safe things with you, but I have got to change the way I'm living. I can't keep being the way I was. And that's how I knew I was a Christian. I knew I couldn't stay the same, because the Lord had come inside my heart through the person of the Holy Spirit, and I was under new management. Every time I would take God's name in vain, every time I would go out drinking or something like that in those early days of first becoming a Christian, there was conviction in my heart that I had never, ever, ever felt before. And I knew, I said to myself one time, I said, this is way different than going to church. Something has changed within me. And God showed me through my reaction towards sin that I belong to him. And as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, flee from immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. And I knew, man, I can't live the way I was living. And I made new friends, and I still had old friends. I led a lot of those old friends to Jesus. But they knew that I was different. And if I had been on trial for being a Christian, I would have had friend after friend after friend saying, that guy's life is different. That guy's life has changed. And so that's how we testify to the truth. We shine and we live a life that's different. And as it says in Acts chapter 4, that the religious leaders, when they had Peter and John in front of them, they recognized them as having been with Jesus. Do people recognize you as having been with Jesus? Do they see Jesus in you, in the way you act, in the way you react? That's our shine. And then our share. We open our mouths. As Jesus told the Gadarene demoniac when he set him free from those legion of demons and then saved him. That man wanted to go with Jesus. Please let me go with you. And Jesus said, no, go to your people in the Decapolis, the Gentile cities. Go to your people and share with them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And the Bible says, and that man went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, because he knew Jesus was Lord. And everyone marveled. Everyone was amazed. He had such a testimony. He had such a shine. And he had something to share. And that's what we do. And we testify to the truth. Our kingdom is not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. We're part of the Lord's kingdom. But we do live here. And as the Lord said to his exiled people in Jeremiah chapter 28, when they had, 29, when they had to stay in Babylon, and they didn't want to be in Babylon. They wanted to be back in Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Jeremiah 29:4, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. That's what we do here. We live in America. We want America to be a good place, a place of honesty and integrity, a place of law and order, not a place where you have to be worried to go to the grocery store because you might get robbed, you might get beaten up, you might get murdered. And we have cities all over America that are just riddled with crime. We are to seek for the good of the city. That's why your vote matters. That's why being involved matters. It's all to testify to the truth. My friend Bill Federer says the number one thing is in all of life is to share the gospel, and the number two priority is to make sure that we have the freedom to share the gospel. And so that is important. That has to do with your civic duty. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. And what does Caesar want? Caesar is our government, and Caesar wants our vote. That's why ad after ad after ad, vote for this person, vote for that person. Caesar wants us to vote. So we need to vote, and we need to vote wisely, and we need to vote for candidates who align more closely to the truth. We don't have any perfect candidates on the ballot in any place, but we vote for those who are going to uphold more closely the truth than others. Well, we're not in Kansas anymore, but here's the good thing. The Lord is with us. He says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He said, Paul said that to Timothy. The Lord is saying that to us. Be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus, and be a good soldier. And just know that it's going to be difficult. Just like when a soldier goes to war, it is difficult. And so the Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground, and we put on the full armor of God so we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question, if you have a comment. I think this is an important topic. How are Christians supposed to respond to the Lord being blasphemed and mocked and scoffed at? Do we just act like it's no big deal? Candace Cameron Bure, she said, you know, she was sad and she was mad. She was both those things, because those are the different sides of the same coin. Every hurt will turn to anger. It's just the way it is. And so righteous indignation is not a bad thing, although you have to watch out for uh, the the issue that James and John, you know, they got the name the Sons of Thunder because when Jesus wanted to go into the city of the Samaritans and they wouldn't let him, James and John said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire to fall on them?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And so we need to make sure that when we see things like that, that happened in Paris, that yes, it makes us righteously indignant, but at the same time, it breaks our hearts. And the people that are doing that, they're deceived, they're blind, and they don't realize this, that they are one heartbeat from judgment. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. But listen, we get to share with people. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But listen, he came as Savior, but if you reject him as Savior, then all that's left for you is Jesus as judge. If you don't receive him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you're going to face him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and you're going to be horrified. And that is not strong enough a word. The terror of the Lord will fall, and it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we need to remember who he is. You know, in Revelation chapter 6, when the wrath of God begins to fall, it falls at the breaking of the first seal. There are seven seals of judgment, seven trumpets of judgment, seven bowls of judgment. And when he breaks the sixth seal, I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid himself in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" They know. They know, instinctively they know, because Romans chapter 1, God has made it evident to them, because he's made it evident within them. He's given them the voice of creation that shows there is a God, and the voice of conscience that lets them know there is a God. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." He doesn't say that in his head. He says that in his heart. But he knows deep down in his heart, there is a God, and I'm going to have to do business with him one day. And at the breaking of the sixth seal during the tribulation period, they will run to the rocks and to the mountains and say, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. So pick up the phone, give me a call. And let's talk right after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the fact that we're not in Kansas anymore. Cultural Christianity is really gone, and the world fueled by the devil is against Christ and Christians and the Word of God and the nation of Israel. All those things represent the promises of God and the hope that we have in Jesus, and the devil hates that, so the attacks come on the people of God, and the attacks did come on the worldwide stage Friday night at the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics. And how are Christians supposed to respond to that? That's what we've been talking about. Our kingdom is not of this world, as Jesus said to Pilate, but we are to testify to the truth. And this is a wake-up call to Christians. It should grieve us, and it should make us righteously indignant. The quote that we've been using in this program today, John Calvin, "A dog barks when his master is attacked. I would be a coward if I saw God's truth being attacked and yet would remain silent." And so we can't be silent. We need to stand up and speak up for the Lord and speak the truth in love and warn people to flee from the wrath that is to come. This world is a sinking ship. And the Lord is going to judge it. And just as in Noah's day, the flood came, the flood of judgment, God is not going to flood the world again. It was water the first time. It's going to be fire the second time. Read 2 Peter chapter 3, and you'll find that. The present heavens and the earth, by his word, are reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. And we have our friend Raul from Texas. Raul, welcome to the program this morning. Raul, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, yeah, I blame the church also for the Christians that say they are Christians. They're not. There are no really authentic Christians in the church these days. It's very few of them. You know, the pastors aren't preaching repentance. I listened to Adrian Rogers for a long time, and I had a choice, either to turn him off or to really listen to him and get into the Word. He challenged me, and you challenged me too when I listened to you. I pray that these preachers have the nerve to stand up for what is right and teach repentance. And there is sin out there. And it hurts me that I talk to people that, oh, we just got to love everybody. We just got to show the love of God to everybody. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Yeah, okay, do that as well. But teach the truth. Teach repentance. There's judgment coming. And it breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's a good word. You know, people, they don't understand when they talk, you know, if you were just more like Jesus, then we would just win this world to Christ. Jesus testified to the world. He said, if the world hates you, guess what? Know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. He testified to the world that its deeds were evil, and they hated him for it, and they nailed him to a tree for it. So this idea that if we were just more like Jesus, everybody would love us and everybody would respond. No, they wouldn't. They didn't in his day, and they won't if we follow in his footsteps. Our job is not to necessarily win the world to Christ. Our job is to be faithful. I can't save anybody. The Lord has to do the saving. But what I can do is point the way. And I can tell people exactly what you're saying, Raul. Tell people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what John the Baptist did. That's what Jesus did when he went out into the cities and surrounding areas of the Galilee and other places in Jerusalem or in Israel. And that's what we're to do. We can't save anybody, but we can be faithful to witness. And a witness tells what he's seen and what he's heard. And as we live for Christ, we can be a dynamic evidence and a testimony that Jesus Christ is alive and he does change lives. So God bless you, brother. Stand up for the truth like you're doing and keep doing it. Keep shining and sharing. We have Jamie on the line from Kentucky. Jamie, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Thank you for taking my call. God bless
you. Yes, sir. God bless you.
Just real quick, during the COVID initial time, this is when I found AFR. I do a lot of lawn mowing. And instead of listening to music now, I'm always listening to AFR. So, so the shows like Sandy Rios, your show, you know, that's going after the facts, the core, all these shows have helped me become a better Christian. It's made me ready to talk to people when they're confused. I can give them facts now. I can lead them closer to the Lord. And I'm also a school teacher, getting ready to start a new year, and I would like for you and your listeners to pray for us to do the best job we can do.
Amen. Amen. Good word, Jamie. Well, let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before you, and we know that school is getting ready to start, and lots of Christians in the public school system, and it's a difficult arena. As the family breaks down, the school teachers see that first and foremost, that there's such trouble in the homes and not discipline in the homes, and they get all the problems. And so I just pray that you'd strengthen them. I pray that you would help them to be the salt and light you want them to be. And I pray that you would help them to know how to navigate difficult waters, and that they would know the Christians that are in that arena, that they would know that you're with them, that you've put them there to shine and share, that they would be bold, and that they would stand up for truth and help the kids to see that through the way they live and through what comes out of their mouths, through the way they're treated, that Jesus Christ is real and Jesus Christ saves sinners. And so, Lord, we just lift them up to you and trust you this year to protect them, to use them in great ways, and that you would use them as a catalyst to bring other people, students, to faith in Christ and other teachers to faith in Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jamie. God bless you, brother. We have Carrie on the line from Texas. Carrie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
All right, I don't know how to address my sister. She's become very, we both grew up in the same Christian household, but she now, for instance, the thing that happened with Donald Trump, she said, everyone says, well, you know, it was by the grace of God that he turned his head and he didn't get shot. Well, so she said, so it's a slap in the face to the other families that did get killed. She said, so why didn't he save, you know, their life? I don't know how to respond to that. And then she says, well, if he knows all and he knows what's going to happen, why didn't he prevent, you know, these bad things from happening to these people? And I'm sorry, I'm at a loss of what to tell her.
Yeah, well, strange are the ways of God. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. The Bible tells us that in the book of Isaiah. So you have in Acts chapter 12, Carrie, you have the big three, Peter, James, and John. They were the top three disciples. They were the ones that got to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. James and John were brothers. Well, James is the first one who is killed. Herod had him put to death with the sword, and then he arrests Peter to put Peter to death also, but the Lord sends an angel to deliver Peter. So James didn't get delivered. Peter did get delivered. And, you know, in this sense of this life, James got delivered. He got taken to heaven. But, you know, you can ask the question, well, Lord, why do you like Peter more than you like James? Why didn't you deliver James? Why didn't you send an angel for James? And the answer is, we don't know. That's God's prerogative. That's God's plan. And so did God protect President Trump? Yes, he did for his purposes. Did other people get killed? In one man and two were severely wounded? Yes. And is that tragic? Yes. We don't know why. You know, some people get cancer, other people don't. Some people get dementia, other people don't. And some people have really terrible, horrible things come into their lives, and other people have different things, not quite the same. And so we just trust the Lord, and we say, whatever comes our way, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And Job 13:15 is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Though he slay me, as Job said about the Lord, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So, you know, we don't know why God does the things that he does. The secret things belong to the Lord. And so we just say, all right, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you because you are perfect. You have wisdom that I don't have. You have knowledge that I don't have, like the breadth of the sea. And so I just, I have my little teacup and I'm looking at the Pacific Ocean and I'm trying to get knowledge. Lord, you show me why you did that. And he says, you don't have the capacity to understand why I did that. You got a teacup for a brain, and my brain is as big as the Pacific Ocean. And so we just say, all right, Lord, I trust you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It's okay to have understanding, just don't lean on it. and then in all your ways acknowledge him. So keep praying for her, Carrie. You know, typically people like that, they're looking for reasons to not believe and to not trust the Lord. And, you know, the best firepower we can have is just to pray that God would soften their hearts and to live before him in a way that is authentic and real and loving. So God bless you. Thank you for that. We have Elsie from Pennsylvania. Elsie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Jeff, and thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
My question, there's a little verse in the book of Jude, uh-huh. and it talks about Michael the archangel contending uh-huh. with the devil
right.
over the body of Moses, and it said Michael did not dare bring a reviling accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And I was wondering, you know, this whole thing in Paris, it's really heartbreaking. But uh-huh. is this the way we can address these things? You know, I often want to be talking about all the evil things that are happening in abortion. But is this the Lord rebuke you? Is that something we can actually say without bringing an accusation against somebody? I'm not sure. I've often wondered about that verse. I don't remember seeing anything about that anywhere else in the Bible, but...
I think the emphasis on that is that Michael is he's a big time angel. You know, there are categories of angels. Well, he's an archangel, and he doesn't go after Satan directly. He says that he just turns him over to the Lord. The Lord rebuke you. You know, we have people today that are 2 Peter chapter 2, they revile angelic majesties and they're rebuking Satan all over the place. We're not to do that. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord said to Satan, Zechariah 3 verse 2, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And so if the Lord says to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, why didn't he just say, I rebuke you? No, he says, the Lord rebuke you. Michael says, the Lord rebuke you. He doesn't put it on himself. He puts it on the Lord. And so we need to be careful engaging angelic majesties, fallen angels who are demons, acting like, you know, we're big and bad. We're not. We need to just constantly turn that over to the Lord. And I think that, you know, as far as that goes, we're not really in position, you know, that we go out on a hunt for the devil. And so when things come to our doorstep, we turn them over to the Lord. And I think that's the emphasis in Jude. That's the emphasis in 2 Peter chapter 2. It warns against doing that. Daring self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not dare bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. And so we need to be careful with that. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Yeah, the devil doesn't have power over us when we're standing in the light with Jesus, but we just keep pushing things. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. And we can ask the Lord to bind the evil one in the name and through the blood of Jesus. But we're not doing that. We're not taking that place. We're constantly giving that over to the Lord. So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Thank you. We have time for one more call. Paul from Oklahoma. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, how are you doing? I got a comment and then a question. But
okay.
In Ezekiel, you know, with all this stuff going on in Paris, and I knew about this early, you know, in the weekend, it says, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand." And, you know, I used to live in Manhattan for years, and I would publicize things as warnings, but I don't live there anymore. And with this event, and, you know, knowing that it's the what these people did are sins worthy of death. Who could I reach out to, you know, and even write concerning?
Yeah, that's a good question, Paul. I think as we all stand up, speak up, take to social media, and be willing to, in social circles, say, hey, this is just wrong. You're exactly right. We are called to warn people. We're called to be faithful. Who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come, John the Baptist said. And that is our job as faithful witnesses. We warn people. The judgment of God is coming, but Jesus Christ will save anybody who will turn to him in repentance and faith. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.